This week on the program, We Hate Movies brings the Holly Jolly as we talk Santa Claus 3, The Escape Clown. Oh, God.
Holly Jolly.
I'm Andrew Jupin.
Steven Sadak.
Chris Gavin.
Eric Siska.
And We Hate Movies. Welcome to We Hate Movies on the Sideshow Network. Thank you for tuning in. As always, this is our Christmas episode, and we're talking Santa Claus 3, The Escape Clause from 2006, directed by Michael Lembeck, who also directed the Santa Claus 2.
And the Santa Claus 1.
Did he do Santa Claus 1?
He did the whole trilogy.
Oh, God, that's just fucking
It's his
gross.
Vision.
So when is the prequel trilogy happening?
That's just like Tim Allen being an abusive father to that kid.
I didn't watch the second one all the way through. Does the Joker show up in that one?
No, but there is a fascist toy in that movie.
I do remember the toy clone.
Yeah,
yes.
It's pretty uncomfortable.
Oh, it's like a Robo Santa?
Yeah, like he's like, oh, there's the Mrs. Claus is like, hey, you got to get married to and get a Mrs. Claus.
Yeah, we don't want any single Santas going around.
So that's a problem. So he's like, oh, but I have to, which is also the plot of this movie, he's like, I have to watch these elves like a fucking hawk.
Yeah,
24/7. I need to know what the fuck they're up to.
Santa's a real micromanager in these movies.
So it's like, oh, Spencer Breslin builds a robot that winds up being a fascist. At the end, he's wearing a beret and like military uniform. It's a bit weird.
He gets hopped up on Coco. Yeah, and it's a really uncomfortable scene to watch.
I don't think
like that Frankenstein fascist in Listomania or whatever.
It's very close. It's actually really close to that.
I don't think these movies know what they're saying.
I don't think so either.
Yeah, they don't. I can say that despite never seeing the second one and only seeing the first one once when it came out.
I saw the first one quite a bit.
I saw it a couple times.
Theaters too.
We had, I believe it was a clamshell VHS case.
Oh,
ooh,
nice.
That's a nice one. Yeah.
That's like the Disney vault.
That's like a vault. Dude, this is the real deal.
Yeah, that was my big green.
Oh, really?
VHS tape was in the clamshell.
You had the big green.
I did.
What's the big green?
Go ahead. It's your favorite movie.
It's my very favorite movie.
It's Blade, then the big green, and then Manchester by the Sea.
Where they execute Michael Clark Duncan?
Yes, and then...
No, it's where the fat kid from the Sandlot's playing soccer.
That's why I liked
that
it.
Exists?
Yeah. Yeah, that exists.
I need to see this. Yes.
Nah, you're fine.
You get clipped in the balls
great.
Or what?
He did. Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
The cover's him getting hit in the nards.
They're selling it on the nut trauma. Yeah. What are they going to do?
Nut trauma is a big selling point. Yes. I will see a nut trauma
in the 1990s. Give me a break.
Yeah,
I wish there was nut trauma in this movie.
There isn't, which is surprising.
How do you make a shitty, pseudo family movie like this without nut trauma? So this is the third outing of Tim Allen as fucking Santa Claus, dude. And I can't think of a bigger fucking asshole to play Santa Claus. I hate his fucking movies. I hate his fucking dumb, man, fucking horseshit stand-up comedy.
But, Andrew, you don't find it funny that men are different than women? Because they are. Oh. I mean, ask anybody. Hey, just ask anybody.
Yeah.
And this movie has to take a dump in my mouth from second one. Because, like, as the opening Disney credits are going, you just get Tim Allen, Oh, and his fucking douchebag toilet flushing groan noise that he makes.
Yet you've seen the first movie multiple times.
I was a stupid kid back then.
I mean,
I'm not denying that.
I saw multiple seasons of Home Improvement.
Oh, yeah.
Oh dude.
I was on the Home Improvement bandwagon way too long.
Oh, yeah. Did you get up to where Mark became a goth?
I sure did.
Tim Allen sure didn't know how to handle that. Oh, he's got makeup on Jill. Is he gay?
That was so disturbing because that whole season was like, is my son gay? Oh, wait. Even though he's goth, he's coming to the football game. Maybe there's hope. Yeah,
and he's checking out the women's butts.
What do you think about that, Wilson, the neighbor?
He tricked America into doing that show again. It's been secretly on the air for like 8 years.
Last Man Standing.
Last Man Standing.
Wait, he's got a sitcom on the air?
Yeah. for years and years it's been on.
I think multiple, yeah, like eight maybe.
Yeah, it's been a long... Nancy Travis, the worst actress in history, playing the wife.
Well, you got to play off Tim Allen.
It's a real chess match.
Holy Toledo. So what is that about? He's the last man.
It's the same thing. But that's the thing, right? It's like, is he the last man's man standing? Oh, my fucking Lord. Can you help it, Tim Allen?
Because it's him and a bunch of ladies. It's a house run by women, and he's just trying to be a guy.
No. Oh, no.
Yeah, man.
They did it, didn't they?
They did do it. And it's been on for... Man. It's been secretly on for years and years.
It's like ABC, you can't fucking figure out like another Blackish or something else to put in there.
No, it's got to be the Whitish.
Did Ken Jeong's show get canceled?
Oh, I hope so.
Yeah, oh, yeah, it did. Oh, for Dr. Sure. Ken? Yeah. Dr. Oh, yeah, Ken. That went far away.
He's a gimmick that I grew tired of half a decade ago.
That you finally represent America, Andrew.
So after he douchily says, we get this thing where it's like Elizabeth, what's the actress's name? She was on Lost.
Mitchell.
Elizabeth Mitchell, yes. She's Mrs. Claus. She's also Mrs. Claus in the second movie, right? They didn't cast her?
Yeah, she is.
And she's like teaching like school children or school elf children.
But they're all like 80 years old, right? That's the gag. Like all the elves are hundreds of years old.
There's no way to tell.
Like, hold on. They're all
like
Yoda-ish?
Elliot Gould kind of age.
They're all Elliot.
Elliot Gould.
They should be wearing Elliot Gould glasses, though. That Elliot Gould Ocean's 11 glasses.
How have there not been a Christmas movie about Ocean's 11 and I need 12? I'm going to need 11 elves. You know? Like, that's great.
I'm going to need 8 reindeer.
You got to get the reindeers together. Yeah, there we go.
They got to rob the North Pole. Mm-hmm. I would watch it.
Copyright, we hate movies. Yeah. So we have a heist movie on Christmas. It's Ocean's 11. Copyright.
Dude, I would have the clamshell VHS of that.
Hold on, Steve. That's not safe enough. What you got to do is put this MP3 in the mail and mail it to yourself.
Okay.
And the postmark. Don't open it.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. Let's just pause this road trip over to the patent office and do it.
Get this on paper.
It probably exists anyway. Lifetime probably already did that.
Oh, probably.
Dude, the slew of like just shit Christmas movies.
That's what I'm watching this month, man.
Which is amazing because like when we were of a younger age, it was like what? It's a Wonderful Life, fucking Christmas Vacation, Miracle on 34th Street, Christmas Story, which I can't stand.
Watch out, Andrew. You're sounding a little bit like Tim Allen right now.
Yeah.
Well, thank God none of them starred a fucking woman, I'll tell you that much. Jimmy Stewart ran that movie.
He was the boss of the movie.
He's the last podcaster standing.
No, my point is like I just feel like now there's just a million Christmas
movies.
Yes,
sure. That's
too many.
Christmas movies that star insane Christians, Christmas movies that star pets that can talk. I mean, like the subgenres of Christmas movies, it's out of control.
And the Santa Buddies 1, Santa Buddies 2, Santa Paws,
Santa Buddies 5, Wait, A New Beginning.
Is this porno or what is this?
No, these are dogs.
Oh, okay.
And all the ones that are made by like the sub Lifetimes, like the ones that don't even have that banner.
The
like,
sub Lifetime?
Yeah.
Like they're always straight called, to like, DVDs, like the Family House Entertainment,
yes,
or something
Sunshine
like that.
Pictures and all that bullshit.
Mar Vista Entertainment.
Yeah, yeah, and they all star fucking Joey Lawrence and Melissa Joan Hart somehow.
Christ-like pictures. Yes.
I saw one just this last week on Lifetime, which was it's the guy from Angel, Christian Kane. Who's weirdly...
Who is Christian Kane?
He's that beefy dude with the long hair, but now he's got short hair.
Yes, that's right. I hated that character.
Some other lady. And basically, it's about a baby angel that comes home for Christmas. And guess what, guys?
What, from college?
No, it's just... They're about to get divorced, and some baby angel is like, you guys can't get divorced. It's a little girl. She's like 5.
Baby looked at you?
But the gag is the angel is actually their miscarriage.
Shut up.
Twist ending, it's their miscarriage.
Oh, my God. Why aren't we doing that? Why aren't we doing that
right
now?
Steve, what did they name their miscarriage?
They didn't name it. I think her name was like Erica or something.
So that miscarriage... named itself?
Yeah, in heaven.
Well, that's what happens.
They gave it a proper Mike Pence funeral.
Well, as
so then it went to heaven.
As is the law of our nation.
Yeah, exactly. Makes sense.
Wait a second. Was this the one you were telling me there's some like ghostly narration? Is that this one?
No, that's the JonBenet movie, which is narrated by the ghost of JonBenet Ramsey.
Now that sounds like a good Christmas.
I think, didn't she get murdered around Christmas?
It was around the holidays.
It's like how
she
was unwrapped. It's like how I believe Die Hard's a Christmas movie.
It is. That's
got people who will fight you on that, though, and it's like, what are we talking for?
So she, Elizabeth Mitchell, who played the president-elect in Purge Election Year, by the way.
Oh, yeah, wow. She did.
Yeah. She was against the Purge, by the way.
That's why they wanted to kill her.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I want Tim Allen in the next Purge movie being like, what, we can't have the Purge now?
That'd be great, and he gets fucking butchered.
All I know is I like to go around and wear a pink mask and slit people's throat.
Dude, this man has made millions off of barking like a hog.
They should call all beers America.
I just hate it.
So Abigail Breslin, by the way, is like, tell us a story or something. I don't even know what the framing
device
is.
She's like, I'm bored with elf math. Why don't you tell us how you got knocked up? Jesus. And by the way, they definitely say baby claws.
Yeah, it's gross.
Oh, gross. Because here's the thing. Third Santa Claus movie? Fine. Second Santa Claus movie. You want to tell me a story about how Santa has to get married? That's cool. He's always had Mrs. Claus. So fine. The story of how he meets his Mrs. Claus, fine. But this movie, Santa's going to have a baby, which means Santa's been fucking. Santa has semen, live semen, that can impregnate a woman.
Yes.
I don't need to be fucking thinking about Santa fucking.
I don't understand why he has a kid, though. Like, what happens to that kid? Does that kid then grow up to be Santa?
He's got to kill him, though, right? Yeah.
That's the problem.
Yeah, like, all Santas have been murdered. That's the line of succession.
But, yeah, it's Oedipus, right, Chris?
It's like you've got to
kill your father and then have sex with your mother in order to become Santa if you've got the bloodline.
So I don't know if Elizabeth Mitchell signed on for that whole storyline, but
that's one of the things that bothers me about Elizabeth Mitchell. Like, the first Santa Claus movie is a body horror movie about how he becomes morbidly obese. It is. He's like, oh God, what's happening? It's like Thinner in reverse.
Most of you rewatched all of these movies. Yeah. I didn't get a chance to.
I did not.
The first one, is there like him with his shirt off and it's a fat suit and he's jiggling?
Yes. I didn't think so. Oh yeah, he's jiggling around.
Oh no, because it's the grossest thing.
Looks like we all got Santa's coat, by the way, in this room.
Grossest thing in the fucking world is they do, because he has to go to the doctor.
Yes, he goes to the doctor, right?
And like the guy puts the fucking, I forget what you call it.
Stethoscope
on his chest, and the fucking thing says, jink, dump, 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 dump.
Hey, Santa, you have to stay overnight because you're going to fucking die in 10 minutes.
That's body
crash
horror,
cart, man. Crash cart!
So, but he goes through this body horror of like becoming morbidly obese. He can't shave his beard and all that
shit.
And
it happens so fast that like that's going to like, that's like your organs are failing.
Exactly.
Sure, yeah.
But when she becomes Mrs. Claus, she doesn't get the white hair. She doesn't get the round glasses.
That's right. Tim Allen's not going to allow that. I'm not going to be married to a fat old lady.
Exactly. He's fucking, he looks like goddamn George Romero.
I saw it recently, and he's one of the thinnest men you'll ever see.
Oh, I'm sorry. I meant to say. Oh,
George Wendt?
Francis Ford Coppola, a little bit.
Yeah, this does look like
a little Frankie Ford Coppola. Yeah, a little bit.
On her worst day, she has to be an 8. Fuck me.
So the student is like, then she's basically like, so how'd you get knocked up? Also, how did you feel about Santa Claus virtually kidnapping you and tearing you away from your entire life? And she's like, well, it's a funny story. And you're like, weird.
Is
Stockholm syndrome.
Yeah, she gave up she was the principal of the school. She gives up her entire career to become Mrs. Claus.
By the way to go, Tim Allen. Fucking your kid's high school principal. You walking cliche.
Not great.
And the weird thing is, like, in the second movie, he gets all skinny again because he goes back to Earth and, like, I don't know, he puts a fucking...
Oh, to attract a mate, right?
He starts secreting this ooze that makes him skinny again.
Well, no, isn't it like the Back to the Future photo where, like, the longer he's there, the thinner and less bearded he gets?
Oh, is that right? Yeah. It's like Superman in a red sun situation.
They crib off of Back to the Future a lot in this series, it looks like.
This third movie is Back to the Future 2, alternate timeline.
But again, so like he's like regular looking Tim Allen, which is a fucking four at best. But then Frankie Ford Coppola is out and she's like, oh, I like that better. Like, what are you talking about?
Well, yeah, you got to take four Tim Allen, not a three Francis Ford Coppola.
That's the thing is she falls from when he's skinny and then he balloons back up and then she's like,
she's ready to go.
I guess.
Oh, she's like, oh, whatever.
Yeah. Then because she fell in love with skinny him, she can accept fat him.
Which is fine. I mean, like, hey, we've all run that trick on ladies, right?
Yep.
Steve's OkCupid profile actually had Robert Pattinson on the...
Steve forgot to take off the fucking Photoshop watermark.
Don't worry about it. Hey, don't worry about it. So she's pregnant. It starts with like a false labor. She almost goes into labor. She doesn't have labor.
Which, again, I don't need Mrs. Claus with her legs and stirrups getting fucking rushed through the North Pole.
I watched The Miracle Life in high school, man. I know what's going to go on. I don't want to think about character.
It would be courageous if they went as far as The Miracle Life. Like, this movie would suddenly be kind of good because it's like, whoa.
If you saw Mrs. Claus giving birth,
you saw
and she's just like sweating and
it's
crying.
Like, oh my God, we're really just animals. You get that realization in that moment when you see that disgusting sack that then becomes a person.
Yeah, you're right. That would make this movie better.
I want you to narrate Miracle of Life now.
Oh, look at that disgusting sack.
Yeah, here comes the sack. Still a coming.
That could be a commentary on Patreon.
Oh, my Lord.
So Tim Allen's like worried about it. It just so happens to be his busy time of year, which is Christmas, you know?
Oh, is that right?
Santa works on Christmas. Santa works only the one guy.
He is such a micromanager, though. Like, he's like getting phone calls out the ass, all this, like, these little details.
You can't blame him, though. He has shitty middle management.
He does.
Like, fucking Lawrence, who now hit puberty in the middle of all this.
Yeah.
And now he sounds like David Krumholtz, which I guess is what they were going for. But
Because David Krumholtz is in that first movie, right?
And he was great. He put all of those elves in line.
Here's a great question. How do you not get David Krumholtz back for a movie?
It's a great... Maybe Numbers was going a little too hot and heavy at that point.
Oh, I forgot that he was might on be that.
It.
Yeah,
that
yeah.
might be it.
That might have been something.
But it must have been a bidding war, and he's like, $80,000? Like,
he probably had already booked a cruise. He was doing theater on a cruise.
It was his wife's birthday. He just didn't want to deal with it.
I also just wouldn't want to be part of a third Santa Claus movie.
Also entirely possible. He was like, you know, he was in Harold and Kumar at that point, you know.
They should have, like, professionally written him off, though. Like, oh, man, David Krumholtz's elf got butchered last Christmas. He fell under the sleigh. Cut him right in half. You're promoted, Spencer Breslin.
Ever see Final Destination down there on Earth? That.
Oh, a roller coaster fell on him?
I sliced him up real good.
I would like to believe that Santa and the Elves are watching the Final Destination movies.
Death comes for us all.
Speaking of that, can we talk about the Hellmouth fireplace he has?
Thank you.
That's the most important thing in this movie.
That's like my only note on this film.
Because it's bad enough you see like Santa's office and there's this gigantic fireplace made of Santa's face.
It's his living room. This is his mantle. Yeah.
And the hole of his mouth is where the fire goes. But it's also like a gateway. And it goes like, and like opens and he can walk through it. Fucking disgusting.
Son of the Mask level graphics we're talking about here.
It's also terrifying. Like, who has fire? Who breathes fire? Like, this confirms that Santa's magic is black magic. It is devil magic, and I denounce it.
He also looks angry as fuck. He looks like he's going to eat me.
I thought that somebody was going to fucking put a sword through David Boreanaz, and he was going to go straight to hell. Like, that's how that shit should work.
When hell froze over, Satan gained weight. Moved some letters around, became Santa.
Uh-huh. Oh, I like this.
This is an old theory. It goes
ate
back
at Waffle House every morning. Yeah.
This is why we have to say happy holidays, because do not invoke the Dark Lord. Not on that day.
Oh, it's disturbing. And like later, Alan Arkin doesn't even remark on it. I'd be like, what the fuck is that?
Let's get into that. Now, they have to, for some reason, I wasn't paying attention that much.
No, that's the motivation for everything that happens in this movie. And then this happens.
Yeah, for some reason. Yeah. So for some reason, his in-laws have to go to the North Pole, and that's sort of what half of this movie's about?
Well, it's because she's like 9 months pregnant, and Santa's too busy caught up with work to give a shit about his pregnant wife. So she's like, hey, I need some help with all this. How about inviting my parents up, who you forbade me to see ever again?
Which is weird. Super weird.
Well, and then the whole like loose justification, he's like, well, you know, honey, your parents will blab to everybody on the block about the secret of Santa.
But they're old people.
And yeah, they're not going to listen.
Go around town saying, you know, my son-in-law, he's Santa Claus.
Get him to the sanitarium.
Yeah, quickly.
But no one's seen this woman for years. She's like David Miscavige's wife, right? Like, just like in hiding. Is she dead? Is she missing? Like, who knows?
Oh, man. Yeah, get me a fucking picture in front of a newspaper with that lady, huh? Holy thief.
It's nobody looks at milk cartons anymore. It's she's on every milk carton in America. Lauren Miscavige.
Well, I'm off milk, man. I've been, you know, a soy boy for a long time.
That's
now.
Why she keeps on being missing, man. Nobody's buying milk anymore.
What are you from the fucking milk council over there?
Packed with vitamin D.
Oh, it sure is.
Is that right?
Yes.
Oh, man. I need to get more of that, especially in the winter. You know?
Yeah.
So the parents are Alan Arkin and Anne Margaret.
One Anne Margaret.
That's what you want as your cast member. Anne Margaret, who I didn't recognize until this credit. It's just... her name is Anne-Margaret.
Oh, yeah. Really?
That's what they did in this movie anyway.
It's in Grumpy Old Men, too.
Is it?
Yeah.
That was so weird. I think that's
how she's always been. But it also is super confusing. Is that your first name or your last name?
I think that's it. She's just Anne. It's like Twiggy.
It's like Seal.
No. It's hyphenated. And her full name is Anne-Margaret Olsen.
So it is. It's just her first name.
Yeah, Anne-Margaret.
Oh, interesting.
So if Johnny Depp just went by Johnny.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I guess. Or what's his middle name? What's Johnny Depp's middle name?
I'll look it up right now.
Who could care? Who knows?
Johnny Nosferatu Depp.
Yeah, I'd buy that.
Johnny, I got away with domestic abuse Depp. Does that work?
It doesn't slide off the tongue.
doesn't really go off. John Christopher, in quotation marks, Johnny Depp the second, by the way.
Oh wow.
That's
great.
So Johnny Chrissy.
Yeah.
Johnny
if he was Chrissy. Johnny Chrissy.
Or if his name was Stan Lee, I was smoking a joint with Santa Claus.
Oh, man. And then I came up with the blob. So, yeah, it's like I want my parents to come up to be with me when this baby is birthed. So go get them. Also, bring up your ex-wife, her husband, and this child that isn't yours, because why not? But this whole thing about we're all fucking friends?
Nope.
No thanks.
Nope.
I don't want to see that
person. Why did we get divorced?
Yep. Remember that? Remember that when we got divorced? Remember that, Scott Calvin?
The only way this works, and this might be the case,
okay,
is, you know, they know he's Santa Claus, and it's a weird cult up there, okay? It's like Jonestown.
Oh, big time,
and
sure.
It's just like...
seconds away from mass suicide at any minute.
And it's just like, oh, the leader. We must please the leader. So, like, everyone's fucking him. Like, Judge Reinhold is having, you know, these dark nights of the cabal.
I do think it's a bit of, like, a nepotism thing also. Like, they just went,
of course.
Like, oh, we'll get all the good presents if we're talking to Santa Claus.
Right.
Of course.
Even Lucy will get some.
Well, and again, like, in all these movies, it doesn't make any sense. Why doesn't everybody know that Santa Claus exists? Where are these presents coming from every morning?
And if elves are making them,
yeah,
why are all Christmas presents garbage?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, okay, there's some nice stuff, but like a lot of it's just trash. Yeah.
Why is it all wooden blocks?
Yeah. Yes.
They're, you know, why aren't they Chinese elves?
Yeah. Well, Santa Claus lore has never been able to really address why, you know, in these movies you're just making like little wooden race cars instead of stacking his fucking bag full of Sega Genesis cartridges. Yeah. You just can't do it. You just got to suspend disbelief.
No.
Fair enough. Also odd is Judge Reinhold's character is one of these 50-year-old adults that's obsessed with Christmas.
Yeah.
You can fucking tone that down a little bit. Just a little bit, grown adult, if you please.
With the sweater gags. Like, yeah, I get it, man. It's funny that Cosby wore shitty sweaters, and now everybody wears shitty sweaters.
Just the whole... Are you talking about, like, the real-life culture of bad Christmas sweater parties?
I just can't stand it.
You ever
it.
Get invited to one of those?
Of course.
I've never knowed on an RSVP. Faster.
Even if I was, I feel like I'd spit in their face.
Oh, who, the host? Lord.
Yeah, the guy who asked me to come to a fucking... Listen,
you'd right. show up to a party yes. solely to spit in the host's
if
face
it was for
around the holidays, by yes, the way.
Of course. And I'd build it up in the elevator oh, wow. and I'd get ready to have it.
Wait, wow. so are you staying at this party or is
no,
it just
I'm
spitting
leaving,
and getting out of there?
This right. person
are you
is
bringing
opening,
wine? You should bring wine.
I will bring wine. He's not getting it.
Oh, okay.
Wait, he or she, sorry.
You could have spit in their face and then drink wine in front of them?
I'm not deep. No, it's this simple. I go to the door, uh-huh. they answer, I spit in their face, say, fuck you, take my wine, and get back on the elevator.
I okay. question.
Are you drinking it in the elevator then?
Possibly.
Okay.
You gotta drink it.
But in order to like be granted access to this party,
sure.
because there is the possibility this person won't answer the door, you have to then purchase the bad sweater.
No, I don't.
Because you're
a
not
coat.
Getting in.
I have a coat,
coat
over
oh,
it.
The coat.
And,
yeah. Oh, shit.
And even if
and
I
wear,
did
whoa, you wear nothing under it, dude?
No.
Oh, fuck
at least
yeah.
bare-chested.
Yeah.
At least bare-chested.
Spit in his face, open it up, swing that dick, and get out of there.
Or you could Migs him and, you know, flick him in the eye.
Oh, oh, God. Oh, Merry Lord. Christmas from Migs. That's a Christmas card.
So and you thought what I was going to do was rude.
I wouldn't do that.
You're working up your phlegm. You're working up your something else on that elevator.
Sure, doing the whole
yeah,
system
the
there.
Whole yeah. Oh yeah, the double.
Yeah. Yeah, getting ready for it.
You pull a double on them. Yeah. I like that.
Like, 1-2.
Yeah. It's like Wayne Knight in Jurassic Park.
Oh God, damn it! Happy holidays.
How did that happen? But the other thing that happens, so like he goes, first things first, he has to go talk to the League of what is it? What
Extraordinary Gentlemen.
Yeah, the League of Extraordinary Gentlemen. Sean Connery's there.
The holiday team? Like,
oh,
I don't
no,
even
it's
know.
It's
the holiday team.
The Council of Legendary Figures, I believe it's called.
Oh, wow. Right. Isn't that great?
Let's go through it. So,
you got Alan Quartermain. Yes. That's number one.
An evil, invisible man.
Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. No, mm-hmm. it's... Aisha Tyler as
Mother Nature.
As Mother Nature, you've mm-hmm. got
Kevin Pollak as Cupid, and he's like kind of naked.
Yeah,
and he's
fucking gross.
Bunny pellets.
No, that's the Easter Bunny.
No, isn't that
no? The
also
Easter
him?
Bunny is shitting bunny pellets.
But isn't he also something?
Why
with his
would
ass?
Cupid shit bunny pellets?
Oh no, that's the thing. He says no, he doesn't have any diapers or something.
Yeah, he's wearing a diaper.
Yeah, he's an adult.
Kevin Pollak in a diaper, which I just my skin is crawling, and I'm here with my kids.
Speak for yourself, not? Man. I was hard as a rock.
Let's get through the rest of the market. And there's Killer Croc.
Deadshot.
Harley Quinn
Deadshot,
is there.
Yeah. No.
That Mexican fire guy.
Yeah, he's cool.
Link from Zelda.
Link from Zelda. Now you're thinking of the Nintendo Power Gang or whatever that was.
What?
That was that cartoon.
Captain N.
Captain N and the Game Masters. You also have Jay Thomas, who was fired from Cheers for being on a radio show saying that he would throw up after he kissed Rhea Perlman.
Oh, right. Yeah.
And Rhea Perlman was like, fuck that guy. And they're like, yep, you're right, Rhea Perlman, fuck that guy.
You're right, one of the most powerful people in television at the time. We will fire this man.
So he's the Easter Bunny, and he looks disturbing.
It's disgusting.
And then you have this guy, Art LaFleur, who's like a big, gruff tooth fairy.
Oh, yeah, yeah. What is... Now, Art LaFleur is an interesting character because of all the movies he's been in.
Definitely in Hoffa.
What was it? There was...
wow, you've never been able to say that about anybody.
But he's
on
done
this
a
show.
Lot of schlock. Like I think it's called Zone Troopers or something, where he's like in World War II and he comes across an alien or something.
I don't know.
Anyway,
that one.
What is it with this obsession American culture has lately where it's like, what if the tooth fairy was a man?
Well, because it's homophobic is what it is. Yeah,
exactly.
Because in the last movie, everyone...
Oh, actually, wait a second. This fucking dude that directed this trilogy directed the Dwayne Johnson tooth fairy movie.
Oh, wow.
Did he?
Yeah, dude, he definitely did.
Do you think he reached out to Dwayne the Rock
absolutely,
Johnson
and Dwayne Johnson didn't even pick up the fucking phone.
So, okay, what's the most like the Rock? Oh, Art LaFleur.
Well, here's the question. Did they originally develop the Dwayne Johnson Tooth Fairy as a Santa Claus spinoff?
Oh, I see.
Oh, Jesus Lord. Yeah, I don't know.
Because that would make sense if Art LaFleur is like a big gruff guy with the fairy wings.
Well, because in the last movie, he's like, his thing is like, why do I have to be called the Tooth Fairy? Anyone remember Reservoir Dogs? And everyone's like, shut up.
How about Tooth Man?
Yeah, fucking Tooth Man. That's a horror movie on Netflix you'll never select to watch.
Hi, I'm the Tooth Man.
Hi, I'm the Tooth Man.
I'm going to kill your family.
Perfect guess.
And then everyone's favorite, Michael Dorn as the Sandman.
Holy shit.
Now, here's what's tough.
Uh-huh.
For me, as a massive TNG fan.
Sure.
Hashtag We Want Worf. I love Michael Dorn.
Of course.
And finding out that Michael Dorn was in this movie, I was like, fuck yeah, that means Michael Dorn's working. But man, sometimes it's just better to fucking get an unemployment check.
He can't be in comedy, you know? Like, he was. I was excited.
Oh, he can't do comedy, you're saying.
I think he's the best part of this movie.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, that's not saying anything.
Sure.
But Michael Dorn is the best part of this movie.
I'm going in saying there's no best part of this movie.
But can Michael Dorn do drama?
He knows drama.
Michael Dorn played the president on one episode of Heroes.
And I got so excited about it. And then the rest of Heroes happened.
Like, how is it you're making this fucking dumb Heroes show? And you know all these, you know, comic book nerds and Star Trek nerds, everybody's going to be watching it. You have fucking Worf himself playing the president of the United States. And then you're like, nah, scratch it. Never again. What a tease. I was so pissed.
I'll tell you one thing. Michael Dorn wasn't busy. Michael Dorn was not busy for Heroes. He was ready.
Well, maybe they were like, oh, shit, we've got George Takei on here. We can't have two Star Trek. Oh, but then Nichelle Nichols was on it, too.
Yep.
Well, no, you know, he might have had to go to his T-shirt factory to make sure We Want Worf T-shirts.
Oh, so he's kind of like Santa Claus in that way.
He is, yes. He's got elves that are...
Nobody can know where this T-shirt factory
is.
His
elves are called Trekkies.
I always love him. He's always like, well, the We Want Worf guys. And I'm like, aren't you those guys?
I don't know. I think it's a bigger operation than we realize.
Oh, my God. It's gotten so big.
Follow the money, right?
I want to get to the bottom of We Want Worf, man.
So
it's like the insider.
And then of at the end, it's Michael Dorn.
Mike fucking Dorn.
Being free, just walking outside of a revolving door and taking a deep breath in Central Park or whatever.
That would be awesome.
That would be nice.
I bet you Michael Dorn can do that, too. I bet you Dorn can do drama.
I know. I guarantee it. Get him in a Michael Mann movie.
Oh, wow.
He would do it.
Yeah.
Yeah, but yeah, he would definitely do it.
Involve Michael Mann as well, even after Black Hat.
I didn't see that. Is it bad?
I kind of like it.
I liked Black Hat.
But it
Black
like made Hat. No money.
We're like yeah. hacking something in China?
Oh, we're hacking all kinds lots of things.
Oh, yeah?
Right. It's a hacking action movie.
Yeah.
But action?
It's kind of good.
Yeah,
it's
I kind of like it.
You know, I'm not saying it's kind of great. No. All right, put right, the tweet it's just, down. It's kind of good.
Look, we've waited too long to talk about Martin Short. He's
yeah,
the last
right.
member of the council.
Jack for Frost. Some,
so it's all like, and this council doesn't make any sense. It's no. all, A, it's mostly American holidays, which whatever.
Yeah, where was Guy Fox and all this?
Yeah, exactly.
What is with Mother Nature though? Like, don't it's great sentiment, but we don't think of Mother Nature on par with Santa Claus?
No,
and
well that's
Easter
the thing.
Bunny.
There's like holiday icons, and then there's just garbage.
And then Peter Boyle is Father Time, not knowing what he's doing in this
dude,
movie.
Peter Boyle died the same year this movie came out. They were fucking propping him up with a broom behind his
dude,
back.
He was dead. That was all ADR.
Oh my God, they turned him into a puppet.
It's just someone else doing it, yeah.
And also, has anybody even used the term Father Time since 1973?
No, or not what, at like, all. Guaranteed.
Oh, no. What? No, I use it all the time.
Really?
Sometimes. When you yell at people on the bus, come on, Father Time!
Yeah.
Got an airplane to catch.
I love saying that when I shove people.
Oh, he'll shove you. You see Eric in the street, you're like, oh, it's Eric. He'll shove you.
He's a shover.
I'm a tough customer.
So, but like the Sandman falls into that shit too.
Yeah.
Like that's not a thing.
There's no rhyme or reason to it. And also Jack Frost is there. But if Jack Frost is there, wouldn't be there be like a summer guy and a fall
Where's
woman?
Heat Miser?
Yeah, exactly.
Where's the Halloween guy?
How do you not have Halloween?
Michael Myers.
Oh, my God.
He's a legendary creature.
I mean, it would be so great. It's all these cartoons sitting around, and Michael Myers just with his fingers... His hands folded at the end of the table.
Dude, he's the best behaved out of all of them.
Exactly.
He's tearing up the little pieces of Danishes that he can put through the hole in his mask.
Well, it's true because there's no teens to murder anywhere near him or his family.
He can't get a gauge on how old these elves are.
Yeah, it's really frustrating.
He's always bringing his knife up and putting it down.
And we have to talk about all the kids, Ray, that we're going to deliver presents to.
So yeah, it's a Jack Frost, one of these non-entities, I guess, just because he's mentioned in a Christmas song,
and he's all upset because he doesn't have a holiday and Santa Claus does. Fart. He gets the weird thing is, like, the rules of this council don't make any sense, because it's like Aisha Tyler's like, you have been accused of 25 counts of upstaging Santa Claus. What the fuck are you talking about?
Yeah, like, he's been going around, like they say, and, like, you know what? I need a cut to... Yeah.
There's, like, cutouts in a mall or something with
Jack you got to cut away to these examples, because Aisha Tyler's like, you've been putting out Santa Claus cutouts and replacing them with Jack Frost cutouts or whatever.
But, like, wait, so mall culture, like what's going on at FYE matters in this council?
Also, in 2006, malls aren't what they used to be. Who gives a shit what piece of cardboard you're taking down in a mall?
They're mostly gone by then. And also, he's been, like, freezing volcanoes and, like, doing all this other shit.
Well, yeah, that's what you lead with if you're freezing volcanoes. My God.
Yeah, forget the cardboard cutouts of Santa. Jesus. So, yeah, they're like, you're going to be, I guess, what, stripped of your powers?
Something. I mean, it's all very vague. And this is a concept that is sort of brushed over in the last movie, is like the Tooth Fairy helps him out for some reason. So it's like, oh, that's fun. And then they, like, kind of expand into this movie. But
is Dorne in that second one?
Dorne is in that second one.
Really?
Yeah.
Ugh.
And the funny thing is the Sandman likes to fall asleep.
That is hilarious.
Wait, doesn't he make you go to sleep? Why would he go to sleep?
Because he loves his work.
I don't know. I don't think it holds water.
So they're like, all right, I guess Martin Short's like, all right, I don't want to be a bad dude. I want to help out busy old Santa.
Well, because he's like, Santa Claus is just complaining in this music. I got the in-laws coming. And I'm like, what are you talking about, Santa
Claus? Just Santa just bitching through this whole first act.
By the way, they sell them on this idea that it's, he's a toy maker in Canada. So him and his elves have...
That's what they tell the in-laws.
Right, yeah. So then him and his elves have to, like, transform the North Pole into being Canada, and that's funny.
That's funny. Yeah,
Canada's
that's real
a funny dumb. Joke. Yeah, Canada's a funny joke.
Yeah.
And he also, like, roofies his in-laws.
Well, so it's like, all right, Santa has to go to Earth to pick up the in-laws and his ex-family. So Martin Short, as Jack Frost, is going to stay behind in the North Pole and help.
These elves need to be watched.
Yeah, every fucking second.
Are they prisoners or what's going on?
Oh, yeah, that's why you got to watch them, dude. They might scurry off.
Also, after...
Ew, that sounds very disturbing.
They're going to get out of the basement.
Oh, these elves.
Shit.
Picture those kid elves doing the spider walk from The Exorcist.
Do you need any more help, Santa?
Better movie.
Yeah,
but
sure.
Also, so like...
Man, I was going to say something, but I just can't get the image out of my head.
So disturbing, isn't it?
It's gross.
Holy shit.
What were you saying, Cabin?
So the meeting ends with Jack Frost like, please give me another chance. Please give me another chance.
Oh, right, yeah.
Let me be on Santa Claus's team. Let me help out with the holidays. And you know what this is? This is like fucking every American government thing ever. They don't leave a regulator.
Yes.
They just needed a guy there to look over his shoulder and make sure he wasn't fucking things up.
That should be Spencer Breslin, though. Or the recently deceased David Grumholtz's character.
Or know your audience. Yeah. Or know your audience. Just make Michael Dorn the guy who has to watch him the whole time.
But then how are they going to put the in-laws to sleep? Because these two in-laws will prattle to the world that their son-in-law's Santa Claus.
But first of all, your ex-family, like everyone in there, this little girl, like, knows about him anyway. So who cares?
That's... But That's how dumb this is, Steve. Yeah. It's only because they talk to people in their town.
Yes.
That's the thing. Anne Margaret and Alan Arkin love to gab.
Oh, you know what? They love Facebook, I bet.
Oh, yeah.
Guaranteed. It might not have gripped the senior community yet as it has today.
Oh, yeah.
But that's a time bomb.
Early senior adopters. Yeah, I think so.
So it's like, all right, go to Earth with the Sandman. He's going to help you knock him out.
Sure.
Okay. Fine. So they concoct this whole thing where he shows up in their driveway with Michael Dorn, and he's like, yeah, Alan Arkin, this guy behind me is my driver. We're going to go to the airport now.
What?
Yeah, that's what he says. He says
I
that
know,
Michael Dorn's a chauffeur.
How stupid is it?
Oh, it's really stupid.
You got two supernatural beings that can go across the world all the time. I mean,
bend time and space.
Conceivably, Michael Dorn is everywhere all at once, because with the population, which is out of control, by the way.
That's a big problem.
You need to thin the herd. But there's someone going to sleep at every second.
Yep. Yeah.
You know? So where's Dorn?
Where is Dorn? Hashtag we want Worf. That's, I mean, by the way, I think Joseph Gordon-Levitt walked out of that Sandman movie. What if Michael Dorn reprises the role? He plays Morpheus
of the Endless. I don't think Michael Dorn could be emo enough to be Morpheus.
That would be really something. That would just be really something.
That's an awful lot of face paint I have to wear.
Grab me my helm.
See, he can't do drama.
No, he can do drama. In case, because everyone likes to stir the pot on the internet. They're like, oh, you were talking about Chris Jericho. I'm going to at Chris Jericho. Don't at Michael Dorn. We like Michael Dorn.
Yeah, totally. And I don't care about Chris Jericho. I'm sure he's a great guy. It doesn't mean I have to give a shit.
I don't
Steve.
Want an internet feud with ex-wrestlers or ex-Star Trek people.
Well, Steve. No, he's a current wrestler. That's why we're eating pounds of shit, because he still wrestles.
You just explicitly asked all of them to ask Michael Dorn about this.
I know. I don't want that to happen.
Michael Dorn is great. I was literally just watching Star Trek The Next Generation.
Let him sleep.
So Michael Dorn as the Sandman knocks them both out.
It's really uncomfortable because they're just like,
because how many times has he done this to, like, you know, honest people that aren't trying to go to bed?
Yeah.
Man, I really wish I could stay up, but I just passed out last night. I don't know why.
Yeah.
Because he got a visit from the Sandman.
And suddenly you're nude.
Oh, Michael Dorn's not pulling any of that.
You wake up with your shirt off and you're like, I guess it was hot last night. I took that off. I must have woken up and took that off for a sec.
I believe you hashtag we want Worf before you went to sleep.
You know what? I might hashtag that tonight to see if it comes true.
If that's the case, yeah, unwrap my Christmas present.
That would not be bad.
That's not a bad situation. It's a good-looking older man.
It's not drama, but it'll do.
So then he goes to his ex-wife's house to see his son, who's a grown boy who doesn't want to be in these movies anymore.
After he drags the comatose bodies into his fucking sack.
Yeah, you got to put those in the sack.
That is gross.
Yeah, right in there. So he's like, hey, ex-wife, where's that son? And he's like, oh, hey, movie, I'm going to go snowboarding through most of this.
I think he aged out of being cute, and they're like, yeah, get out of here. We're going to get a new cute kid.
He got replaced by this little redheaded girl.
Billy Mumy's daughter, by the way.
Oh, yeah, how about that?
Yeah. That's something.
Lost in Space, Chris Kent.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And one of the best episodes of The Twilight Zone.
So, and she's like, oh, wow, I can't wait to go to the North. She keeps calling him Uncle Scott. And every time she calls me Uncle Scott, I'm like, oh, no, I just got divorced from your mom. It's totally fine.
But that's
divorced from your mom.
That's how involved he is with their lives, though. He is indeed Uncle Scott.
That is Judge Reinhold's kid?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, yes. So... It has nothing to do with him.
Exactly, got nothing to do with him. Like, I mean, and you could be. It's a
but
good.
That's
to be
what, like, you know, some your family friend is quote unquote uncle.
Sure,
know? I guess that's where it falls under.
This is going to sound really bad, but you give her about the same attention as a dog.
You're like, now don't take this the wrong way, but you treat this little girl like a dog.
Like a friendly dog in the house. Like, hey, Lucy, how are you doing?
and that's it. Yeah, I kind of agree.
I'm there to see my son.
Exactly.
I don't know you. I didn't make you.
And there should be like a supernatural council of uncles to weigh in on this.
Uncle Dan, Uncle Rob,
yeah,
Uncle Pete.
They're all weighing in, and they're all saying the same thing. Treat her like a dog.
So saith us, and chug it. Chug it.
By the way, did you block us collectively on Facebook?
So then it turns into this thing where, like, he's trying to take his son to the North Pole, but he's got a snowboarding date with people we've never seen. So then it's like, well, the three of us can go. And he's like, okay.
He does not want them there at all.
No, because he's trying to work. He's trying to fucking work. He's got a job to do.
Come in February, man. Yep. I'll show you the fucking operation, then I'll give you a two-day tour.
Santa's got nothing to do in February but sit around, watch porn on the internet, and drink beer.
Bunch of meetings. That's it.
Yeah. Speaking of coming in February. Jesus
Christ. Good God.
We're doing a podcast.
And also, we've already established Santa's fucking. So
yeah, Santa's fucking 24/7.
Loves to fuck. Speaking of which, because we mentioned this on previous Christmas episodes, there is a slight hint of we might be fucking on Christmas songs in this movie.
Santa, which one?
There's some, like, it's some like a, we're a ho, 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 guitar fucking.
Oh, I hate that song. Oh,
whatever that piece of shit tune is at the end of the
all
movie.
All that fucking, like, Santa rock, I don't need it.
Dude, it sucks.
Even with Bruce Springsteen, just fucking shut it down.
I love the boss. That fucking Santa Claus is coming to town, I can't take it. I love Bruce Springsteen, I can't take that
give
song.
Give me Nat King Cole, give me some class on the holidays.
Yeah. Yep. Charlie Brown Christmas.
Mm-hmm. Totally.
Girardi, just do it.
Like, you're not chugging beers on Christmas. You shouldn't be.
And I don't need fucking Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer because I have a fucking shirt on, all right?
Wait, do people fuck to that song?
No, I mean, they're hillbillies. They're hill folks.
That song is about hillbillies.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so yeah, they don't have enough shirts.
It was written by the stars of The Hills Have Eyes.
The seventh member of Lynyrd Skynyrd.
He survived and wrote that song. Oh, God. He crawled out of the wreckage to write Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer.
Can I tell you, by the way, I've been drinking eggnog since, like, before Thanksgiving.
Oh, really? I don't do the eggnog.
Oh,
I haven't had any this year.
Jesus Christ, dude. You just put a big old pour of bourbon in there.
Uh-huh.
It's right where you want to be.
It's nice.
That's got nothing to do with anything, but all this talk about Grandma Got Run Over by the Reindeer.
No, it's good. It's like drinking ice cream.
You know,
it's very nice.
I will say I don't appreciate this movie's cocoa jokes. All of the cocoa jokes.
Well, and it's like a euphemism for alcohol.
You got too much cocoa. It's that. It's a euphemism for coffee. It's a euphemism for blow. It's a euphemism for anal. It's a euphemism for party politics, I believe.
had Mrs. Cocoa. I mean, Mrs. Claus and the cocoa.
God damn it.
So he knocks his grandparents out, and now all the elves have to be, and this has to be a little offensive to go up to all these elves and be like, hey, you guys work like 36 hours a day. And
Time passes differently at the North Pole.
But you're all a little creepy, so you got to wear these hats. And Make your ears a little bit more normal. You know what I mean? I don't want my in-laws to throw up.
Well, it's like, you know, whenever Spock traveled back in time. Look, you got to put that fisherman's hat on.
My partner is obviously Chinese.
Oh, man. Yeah, totally.
There's some crazy lines in the original series.
Yeah. I just watched that one recently.
Was that a piece of the action? It was like,
City on the Edge of Tomorrow. Is it Tomorrow or Forever?
Yeah, it's one of them.
Yeah.
It's on the edge of something. It's on the edge of everything, really.
It's on the edge of that girl getting hit by a truck.
Look, I asked Lawrence to take care of this, and clearly he couldn't. But you all have to put Canada shit everywhere. Yeah. Nail it up to your doors. We'll take care of the labor force. You know, polish the shops up. But, you know, and I'm really sorry I had to do this because Lawrence hasn't the guts to do it.
The guts!
But, yes, we're Canada now.
And here's the thing. How stupid do you think these people are? Like, listen, I've never been to France.
Yeah,
I've never gone to Paris, right? Yeah, sure. But it's like, if you brought me to the North Pole or some fake fucking place, and it's clearly just like a walking stereotype, I'd be like, well, listen, there's something going on here.
It's offensive, the signs of this thing.
Yeah. It's just like Canada Heart Hockey.
Yeah, yeah, there's a hockey shop, and of course there's a big and tall, hey, Canada, you're fat.
There's also a maple leaf thing.
Oh,
like
it's
Maple
everywhere.
Leaf Espresso or some shit.
I think there's a sign for universal health care.
And I mean, like, Martin Short, that turncoat's Canadian, just like sitting on set. You're like, right. I guess this is cool.
Yeah.
Like, and everyone is doing A jokes. Like, you know, they'll be like, hi, we're just, we're Canadian. We're not elves. This isn't magic. A.
Someone has to, like, elbow the person who's speaking and they go, oh, A.
And then Alan Alda.
Arkin. Class it up a little bit with some Alan Alda in this fucking movie.
Oh, man. What if Alan Alda was the elf's foreman? You know what I mean?
He's like, I'd watch a whole movie of that.
I would. The elf foreman? I would love it.
There's going to be a lot of jokes about how tall he is.
I'm taller than your humongous average elf.
He's taller than everybody in this movie.
We're going to work double shift Santa Claus. that's all I got.
Here's some jokes about Korea I hope you like. So they bring them all there, and Elizabeth Mitchell's reunited with her parents. But, like, immediately, this movie devolves into a John Cassavetes argument. These people are fucking screaming and yelling at each other.
You shut us out. Holy mother, what is that?
Yeah, that's nuclear, man. I don't need that. That's not on the holidays.
Oh, my God. It's insane. They just start fighting, and, like, Tim Allen's trying to work, and there's this crazy thing where, like, the star on their tree, the tree falls over, and this thing shatters, and she's
crying. That's a little later.
What's going on is Martin Short's like, oh, I'm going to help out, but to Chris's point, there's no regulating body to watch him, and he keeps... fucking up Santa's workshop. He keeps tempting the elves with cocoa, which is weird because, I mean, look, at best, it's just coffee. Like, you know, they're
getting all hepped up on goofballs. Yeah, they're all little kids, man. You can't give a little kid coffee.
They're
900 years old, man.
I mean, that's why this movie needs to specify what is going on. Mm-hmm. Either you hire a bunch of kids and they're kid elves, or you get fucking a bunch of little Mickey Rooneys running around.
These are
your elves.
They're supposed to be fucking little Yodas or something. Right?
Or how about a mix? Why are they all children? I get it. It's like a kids movie. But David Krumholtz was like fucking 45 in that first movie. Come on.
My question, though, is it weird for the little people acting community? Are we taking roles away from them by casting Bob Newhart in that elf movie, or are we not? Is it okay?
They gotta be tired of playing elves.
I would
man.
Think so for sure. But then but that's my whole year. That's my whole fiscal year now.
Well, you could be working at a mall.
Yeah, that's true.
Or like Boardwalk Empire.
Or Boardwalk Empire.
You could be a boxer on Boardwalk Empire, man.
Oh God. I mean, you know, thankfully Peter Dinklage is fucking smashing all the ceilings, playing X-Men villain and all sorts of other stuff.
He's fantastic.
He's playing Bill Duke in movies. He can do anything.
Matching up with the greats like Bill Duke.
Yeah, taking jobs away from Bill Duke.
That's the other question. Is it okay to take roles away from Bill Duke?
I think Bill Duke needs to be permanently employed. He should be always on the silver screen.
Bill Duke should be on Last Man Standing.
He might be. He might be the producer.
So we're introduced to the concept. We should, I guess, talk about this. It's the subtitle of the movie, the escape clause. So the whole conceit of this is like it's a way for Santa to not be Santa anymore,
which is time travel and crazy, and like
it involves something called the Hall of Snow Globes.
You know, fuck this. They set up how to not be Santa anymore, and that's you get fucking murdered.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
That's it.
It's a pine box.
Exactly.
It's like the Supreme Court.
Oh, you're not Santa anymore. You want here's your new job. It's called pushing up daisies.
That's what it should have been, Cabin. Fucking Tim Allen gets Antonin Scalia'd in this movie.
Oh, you mean the CIA?
Yeah, dude,
into his
they fucking
with that
snuff
pillow?
Him out. Yeah.
With that pillow?
Yeah.
They put it over his head and they start shooting him in the face.
He chokes on feathers, dude.
I'm just saying, exhume that body.
Oh, no. It's like,
I don't care if the widow Scalia is crying. You got to get to the bottom of this.
Widow Scalia!
You bring that body up.
You bring that hateful, fat body out of the ground.
If you're willing to pull guns on other conspiracy theories, dig up that. You know what? Get a shovel, hillbilly.
No, it's just like, all right, you want the escape clause. So he has the escape clause, and then Robert De Niro gets a phone call, and he's like, how did the escape clause go? He's like, well, we had a problem, and he's gone. You know, we had to let him go. He kicks over the phone booth, and that's the end of it.
That would be awesome.
And there wasn't nothing we could do about it.
That's the line I'm looking for.
You just see Tim Allen fucking getting thrown into a pile of snow. A plow comes by. Oh, that would be great. But instead, like, he's got to say,
I wish I wasn't Santa ever or something like that.
I wish I was never Santa Claus at all. Which
at
is
all,
very dumb.
Right. And
he has to hold
be,
the snow globe at the wow. time.
Touching his personalized Santa snow globe.
What a magic spell that sentence was.
So Martin Short tricks him into saying this.
I mean, but that's the problem. Is like this, it takes an hour to get here because like
an hour of a fucking 96-minute movie, by the way.
Because the movie should be the alternate reality we go into. That this should be like this should be the framing device. Fuck the little kid.
Right.
It should be just like maybe 20 minutes of this, and then like you really missed your destiny for a long time.
Totally.
And then at the end you fix it.
Yeah.
But this is like a 20-minute sequence, and it's kind of the whole movie.
Yeah, that's what I was totally. I'd never seen this before, and I was totally surprised at how fast it's wrapped up. Because yeah, it's like you're Back to the Future 2s, or more traditionally Christmas time, you're It's a Wonderful Life.
Exactly. We need to really live in this new reality.
But to be fair, when you start doing shit like that, keep in mind, It's a Wonderful Life is like 2 hours and 10 minutes long. Mm-hmm. Can you imagine?
Yeah, that's a good
130 minutes of the Santa Claus 3.
The second one's an hour and 45, and that shit was hard to get through.
Well, that robot's up to so many wacky adventures.
Really
there's
is.
Another 25 minutes on top of that, I'm really, really considering, you know,
now,
jumping out. I haven't seen that second one. Does the robot get handsy with people? Because is it like an evil Santa?
He's evil, but he's not. He has no junk, as far as I can
wait,
tell.
Wait, how weird. Do you know? How do you know that he's got no junk?
Krumholtz didn't bother to engineer genitalia?
He's naked, and they show him. He's like a Ken doll. For a second. From the back, you can see he's like a Ken doll. He doesn't have ass cheeks.
Oh, wait. God.
Oh, man.
And is that Tim Allen doing that nudity?
Of course it is.
Rub my bump. Rub my bump.
Rub my bump.
I'm excreting semen through my pores.
Hey, Santa, you ever want to see a Ken doll use the N-word?
That's who we need is the Foreman elf. It's Joey Pan.
Oh, totally. Yes.
No CGI needed whatsoever.
The secret code of Christmas. You've unlocked it.
All right, everybody. It's a great day today. I fired Lawrence. Meet Joey Pants.
All right, you scumbags, listen up. Christmas is coming and Christmas is coming fast.
Organize this shit quickly.
Oh, no. And then a comet dies in a stable fire. And then Santa Claus goes up to Joey Pants' house to see what's going on. And they get into a fight over it. You know, and then he goes, ah, fuck you, Santa, you sausage by the fucking truck. And he gets hit in the head with a frying pan.
That's right. That's exactly how he'd go out.
By the way, can we talk really quickly about the reindeer farting?
Oh, we have to.
And being gremlins?
Like yeah, it's disgusting.
The noises they make are like the in Gremlins 2, the one that's in the soup, like the gremlin.
Yeah, I agree.
Wait, is that gremlin saying gremlin?
No.
Oh, all right.
It should. I'm saying
that is such a soup gremlin thing.
But it's, you know what's shocking about these reindeer, though? Not voiced by Frank Welker.
I know. I triple checked. I checked that list twice.
I think he booked a cruise.
He must have.
He booked a voice acting cruise.
But yeah, it's and they're just like, and they're farting. And he's like, oh, easy, Comet. Lay off the alfalfa. P.U. I'm like, great. This is a great movie.
He ate the original alfalfa.
Oh, hey, I looked it up after we were talking about it on the show a couple weeks back. What's his face from In Cold Blood and Lost Highway?
Robert Blake.
He definitely was a little rascal.
Oh, ew.
Yeah, it was gross.
That's awesome. You know that he could be he could be an elf.
Yeah, it's Joey Pants and Robert Blake.
Yeah.
Oh man, they would whip this workshop into shape.
Speaking of. I could be an elf, Mark. How about Gallagher?
Oh, that's it.
Or maybe it would be Father Time.
Oh, he could fit Father Time.
I'm going to say, if Robert Blake is the middle management type here, the Hellmouth makes more sense.
Yeah.
If we're going to do that way, we can go that way.
Right? Like, he comes up with this new strategy. Like, you got to intimidate these people. You know? So he's like, Santa, you got to be... So he makes Santa, like, a scary figure so the elves are in line. So
right.
Things start happening
Puts
around here.
Gargoyles on every corner you can find.
Oh, God.
That's right.
So we go back in time 12 years.
So basically, Santa is so fucking stupid. The one thing he can't do. Oh, by the way, Jack Frost, Martin Short, we can talk about it a little bit. He looks really weird in this movie. Oh,
yeah. He looks like a Martin Short robot.
He does.
It's gross.
A lot of makeup, like everyone in this movie, but he freezes Judge Reinhold and Wendy Crewson.
Oh, right.
And then, like, he locks the little girl in a closet. Like, no, freeze the little girl, too. That's a witness. You got to if you're killing a family, you got to kill a whole fucking
right. Totally. She's the one that's going to mouth off the most.
He's straight up killing these people.
Yeah, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
They are murdered. Like, you're frozen for hours. You're fucking dead.
Those frozen bodies did look like something that you could find in a John Carpenter movie.
Those
like,
things are bone chilling.
Pretty. And then, get in the closet with them. I was like, okay, everybody. Yes,
sit in this closet with your clearly dead parents for an indeterminate amount of time. Yikes.
Yeah, Merry Christmas. Yeah. That girl is messed up.
Oh, big time. She's killing people.
Yeah, you know what? She hates the holidays. Yeah.
Now she's like the only way she knows how to feel good about life is to chop people up and put them in her freezer.
Oh wow, that's right. She learned it's learned behavior.
Exactly. Dahmer.
She would be like Dahmered. She would be the source material for Silent Night, Deadly Night 2. Garbage Day.
It's perfect.
It would be great.
Did we, did we touch on Red Deer? How that is how you get into the snow globes.
Oh, right. It's Red Bull, but Red Deer. Oh,
and it's just one of those stupid things where you just show the brand colors and like that's it. But hey, Red Bull, Red Deer, right?
Well, Canada, it's Canada. Yeah. They've got Red Deer up there. That's all they drink.
And it's also fun to have little kids drink fucking taurine by the gallon, right, Tim Allen, you piece of shit? We should not be peddling Red Bull to children.
No way. Not unless there's vodka in it.
The creepiest part.
Whoa. Got to talk to the Sandman about that.
Can we talk about the Anne Margaret scene? So like, it's Martin Short, and like, yeah, he's a maligned legendary figure. Much like Martin Short in real life.
I got to tell you, we just watched that Hairspray Live last night, and he's playing the dad, and he's good. He was good in it.
Around the horn, what do we think about Martin Short?
I think he's kind of good. I like him too.
Yeah, love him. He's a vessel. Like he will take the shape of whatever you need the movie to be. Like,
exactly.
In Clifford, he's going to be terrible because that's a terrible
what?
Movie.
No, Clifford is a great movie. I honestly really enjoy it.
Oh, really? Okay.
Split in the room on that one.
Oh, wow.
But you know where it's unacceptable? Here's a shape I don't like him taking. Jiminy Glick.
Oh, it's just
something I don't need.
I will denounce Jiminy Glick.
Yeah, right here and now.
Right here and now. I denounce it.
I denounce.
I abandoned my child. I abandoned my Glick.
God. It's just I've always hated it. I've always hated that character.
That Glick needed to go to a special school.
But no, I love him.
He's great in Inherent Vice.
He's so awesome in that movie.
He's awesome in that movie.
Speaking
of
doing coke.
But so it's him, and he's like trying to get Anne Margaret's attention, and he's like, "Well, I bet you could sing a lot of songs," and she's like, "Why? As a matter of fact, I can." And he's like, "What did you sing? Chestnuts roasting on an open fire?" And she's like, "Oh, okay." And she starts singing, and she gets to Jack Frost nibbing at your nose. And he goes, and he's like,
"Sing it again."
He said, "Sing it again." And she doesn't get it. I'm like, dude, this guy's a pervert. You got to walk away.
Right. Well, she doesn't know he's Jack Frost. Right?
Oh, she's singing it. She don't even know it. That's the whole thing.
That's like the whole. Oh my god, that's the whole thing.
Oh, it's because I need women to sing a Jack Frost nibbling at your nose. They don't even know it. It's a woman on the bus. She's wearing sandals. She don't even know it.
What are you nipping? Just say it again. What are you nipping? Oh, I'm going to nip your nose.
Oh, nipping nose.
It's a disturbing scene in a kid's movie. But to your point, he tricks Santa Claus into saying, "I wish I was never Santa Claus at all," which is the one sentence you should never say, Santa Claus.
And he knows this. Santa Claus knows this.
We do a little bit of Back to the Future Part 2, and now we're watching the first movie again.
I could watch Tim Allen murder Santa Claus at least 15 times a day.
So what, he took a gun out and shot him? Is that what happened?
No, he goes, like Tim Allen thinks that he's a burglar.
Oh, yeah.
And he's like, "Hey, you on the roof!" And Santa Claus goes, and like slips and slides down the roof and dies.
A fatal one-story drop.
Yeah, that's a really good point.
You know what? But also, building on that, that should be Jack Frost's endgame, is to make him slip and die.
Yeah, kill him. Just fucking blow this guy's brains out and then put the coat on. That's the easiest way to do it.
Yeah, none of this casting a spell horse shit.
But so then,
they got guns at the North Pole?
They should.
candy cane shaped gun.
Yes.
Yep. Well, there's a war on Christmas, don't you know?
Yeah, they got
they've got a lot of weaponry up.
Gotta liberate them Starbucks those cups.
WMDs up there.
And which can we say really quickly?
Uh-huh.
If you're getting upset about Starbucks cups, you can't celebrate Christmas this year. Cancel Christmas for yourself if you're getting upset about Starbucks cups. Please,
yeah.
Please.
How about, yeah, who gives a shit?
That's a great question.
Yeah.
People with too much time on their hands.
Drink your coffee that's red. It's a red cup. That's a Christmas color or whatever.
It does.
And go in your car and fucking put the radio on and listen to all the Christmas music everyone is being subjected to 24/7.
I just don't get it. Like, why? Can't we change the design of a cup? Why does it have to be fucking... I mean, what does it need to be? Santa Claus, eight reindeer, no. Mrs. Claus?
No. All it has to have is the word Christ on it.
It needs. If you want to go in the privacy of your own home, watch The Passion of the Christ and jerk off, that's your business.
That's what you do on Easter.
That's what it is. It's on the, all right, fine. You can get Santa Claus on a Christmas cup, but on Easter you need to have a crucified Christ on your coffee.
Yeah, cup. I want to see a fucking limp dead Jesus on a cross.
And they have to dye the coffee red for a whole month.
And on Ash Wednesday, every single cup has to get the mark.
Oh, man.
Here's the thing, you fucking...
You got a Padre in the back?
You fucking litter bug, right? Why don't you just take... Buy a coffee cup, like a travel mug,
mm-hmm.
you know, with like Jesus in the manger and a big old juicy crucifix on it or whatever you want. Bring that to Starbucks and have them fill it up for you.
And I'll tell you another thing. Can we all... leave the Starbucks employees alone. Let's stop tricking them into doing weird names on the cup.
Yeah.
Like, it's just, you know, like, what? They're busy.
They don't fucking care.
They don't care.
And you think you got them? They don't fucking care. And no one cares about you except for those people on Facebook that you're in cahoots with.
Your uncle. I was actually, dude.
Yeah, the League council. Of Uncles.
The League of Uncles.
I was talking to a buddy of mine who works at a Starbucks, and he was saying that the CEO of Starbucks decreed who cares about those people if you don't have to do it, which is
as
great.
Well, he should have.
Yeah.
So
we're going back in time and watching Santa Claus die again.
Because, yeah, and then Jack Frost hits Santa Claus. They both go back in time, which kind of doesn't make sense. They get sucked back through the time stream.
Well, he's holding him.
Well, yeah. See,
classic time travel physics.
It is Bill and Ted's Rules.
Oh, okay.
That's exactly right.
And he hits... he hits Santa Claus in the face before he hits Tim Allen in the face before he can get the jacket, and then he puts the jacket on.
Right.
And now he's Santa Claus, even though, how does that work in the time stream if he's coming back?
That's the thing. Why isn't there the past Tim Allen fucking around?
There is. Later in the movie, he comes back.
But I know, but in that first scene when they go back, there should be two Tim Allens. My God, that's two Tim Allens too many.
Also, and I'm just going to say, he's already the representation of some bullshit.
Yeah, he's a magic person anyway.
Why you really think it has to be immortal? I think
he turns into Scrooge.
Yeah,
and he doesn't remember his own life. Like, why wouldn't you? If your 12 years went undone and you became someone else,
yeah, why would you have those memories?
Why wouldn't you have those memories?
No, he does have them.
He doesn't understand, why are we working on Christmas? When he becomes the business
manager. He doesn't have those memories.
Yes, it's weird. He comes. Yeah, he wakes up 12 years later, and he's like the CEO of some toy company. I guess in the first movie, he's a toy representative or something.
Yeah.
But like, yeah, to Eric's point, like, it doesn't make sense. Like, he doesn't have any, he only has the old memories back to Santa Claus 1 and 2 in his brain.
Right.
Not the last 12 years.
But Marty and Doc don't know what happened to them.
That's
true. They gotta go solve it.
It's
the timeline diverged here into an alternate 1985.
At this point,
you were Santa Claus for 12 years. You murdered Santa. That's another thing that's weird. These two sequels are way later than that first movie.
Oh, yeah.
The first movie's like in the 90s, isn't it?
It's like 94. I think the
Clamshell VHS case.
Yeah. But so he's like, oh, I got to go see my ex. The first thing I got to do is see my ex-wife.
Because, my God, I got to make sure that I still have some sort of friendly, congenial relationship with my ex-wife.
I have to make fun of Judge Reinhold.
He loves debasing Judge Reinhold in these movies.
Yeah, it's very disturbing.
I think Tim Allen hates Judge Reinhold.
in real life.
Because he does yoga and he's a psychiatrist. Like, get
those
the
are
fuck
funny.
Out
those
of here,
are funny. Man. Any you know value what? That isn't exactly held by fucking 12 truckers in middle America, therefore, is frou frou and garbage.
You know, I'm going to take a last stand on this one.
Yes.
Last man stand.
It's oh. Tim Allen, David Mamet, and that's it.
You know what I would make fun of Judge Reinhold for in this movie, though? Remember that at the end of that first one, he's got that hot dog whistle?
Mm-hmm.
That's always stupid.
Yeah.
I thought that was pretty stupid.
She's playing the dating game. Like, just shut the fuck up, will you?
So then he goes there, and like she's pissed off, and was like, but we're best friends.
And here's did you guys catch this interesting detail, by the way?
Please.
So this is...
I must have missed it.
Interesting, you say?
No, it's so shitty because... This is supposed to be like a bad timeline. The alt 1985,
yeah. Yeah, sure,
Jimmy
sure.
Stewart was never born, that whole thing, right? So this is a quote unquote bad world, right? So in the real timeline, she's like a whatever business-ish woman of
sure.
some stature. In this movie, when she opens the door in that scene where it's bad timeline, she's dressed up as a waitress.
Oh,
and
wow.
like her hair is fucked up and she's got a name tag on. And it's like, look how fucking miserable this woman's life is. She has to be a waitress. Yep. Oh, man, that's shitty.
The actual butterfly effect. She works at a diner. She is fucking down in the dumps.
Yeah. I was actually kind of surprised that because the kid, it's Christmas Eve and the kid's like going out with his friends. I'm like, I'm kind of surprised he wasn't like a goth or like a gangsta rapper or whatever fucking Tim Allen's nightmares are.
Gay.
Yeah, or gay, heaven forbid.
I'm going out with my boyfriend on Christmas Eve. And Tim Allen puts his fucking head in a snowbank.
But
the snow melts.
But then he's like, but where's Judge Reinhold and Lucy? And she's like, what the fuck do you care about my daughter, dude? Get out of here.
Also, how this needs to be a thing where that girl doesn't exist.
Yes.
That has to happen. What are you talking about? We got divorced after 6 months.
Yeah.
We never had. Who's Lucy? What are you talking about? Like, I was waiting for that to happen. Mm. And it's like, no, you still, in this world, produced the same exact kid? I don't think
no,
so.
No. She's a baby angel now.
Yes. No, it was a miscarriage, and then Mike Pence jailed her for observation.
We're going to hook electrodes to this angel and see what shakes out.
Oh, that dude is the bad guy in an E.T. movie.
He really is, dude. Yeah. That's how he lights the top of his Christmas tree. He hooks a car battery up to a fucking aborted angel.
So he's like, she's like, oh, Judge Reinhold and Lucy are at the North Pole. And he's like, Frost made the North Pole commercial. He takes a commercial flight. I guess, does this go through some magic barrier? What are we talking about
it's
here?
It's Santa Airlines, dude. I think Richard Branson started it.
But how do you get to the North Pole without magic?
Well, I think here's the thing. I think in the preferred timeline, there's some sort of spell that masks this North Pole.
Oh,
but I think Martin Short's done away with all of that.
Oh, because
it's just like, come on in.
And the balls for Disney to get on a high horse about theme parks.
Oh, you better believe it.
Can we just stop Disney's Santa Claus 3?
We can't commercialize Christmas we're commercializing Christmas.
It's so fucking outrageous. It should be called the Santa Claus 3, the pot calling the kettle black.
It's like you're selling Red Bull to children in this movie. And then you're like, oh, man, this miser's trying to turn a dollar on Christmas.
But meanwhile, my coffee cup is not the right color.
Yes. Heaven forbid.
This is what we're getting on about.
But so he goes to the North Pole, and oh, my God, it's so commercial. You have to buy a ticket to everything, just like fucking Disney World.
Oh, and it's great because it's all these rotten families fighting with each other about gifts and whatnot. It's the thing is,
welcome to the real Christmas, in case you were wondering.
Oh, sure.
Christmas.
Oh, sure. Yeah. But like, you don't see really any of the attractions. It's just a gigantic gift shop. Like the workshop is a gift shop.
Sure.
And they're all these like, be sure you stick around for the 2 o'clock reindeer execution or like whatever it is. But you don't see any of that stuff. Like, I want to see those things.
All the elves have like the old, like the placards for like tour, like bus tours and stuff like that on them. Like, ask about our tree shinings or whatever the
fuck. They're all, it's those dudes on the street spinning arrows that say this way to Subway.
But so he's like, oh my God, it's a fucking nightmare, right? And like, He runs into Judge Reinhold, and also the ball's on it. So he goes to Judge Reinhold. He's like, "Why'd you get divorced from my wife?" It's like, "I'll tell you why, Tim Allen, because your son never warmed up to me, and therefore we had a lot of problems in our marriage." And I'm like, "Hey, guess what, dude? Not my problem. I've been divorced for years. Bye." Like,
yeah, I don't know, totally. Dude,
fix your own marriage.
Yeah, how is that like Tim Allen's fault?
Yeah, I blame you. Like, why?
Like, I never thought I'd be saying this, but it's not Tim Allen's fault.
Well, that's the shitty thing. It's because he has been dumping on this character. The stepdad has been dumped on for 3 movies now.
Sure,
and yeah. Now you're suggesting that the only thing that was keeping that family together was fucking Tim Allen's mouth. You've got to be kidding me, guys.
So he's like, "Bye, Tim Allen.
Bye forever." He's dressed like his character and vice versa, by the way.
He is. Oh, do you think that that's actually Fred Savage?
Yep.
And then somewhere else.
Yeah, Fred little girl is Judge Reinhold, actually. Oh, that's...
We also got vice versa. So I'm trying to figure that out first, and then I'll figure out your supplementary timeline.
And somehow the little girl has a really thick Chicago accent.
So he goes to the little girl and he's like, "Hey," and she's like, "I don't know who the fuck you are, man. Like, we're high bye friends, as we should be."
Yeah, she's like, You normally treat me like I'm a friendly dog." "Mr. Calvin," she calls him.
"Aren't you gonna put a cookie in my mouth and walk away?"
But he like ropes this little girl and is like, "Hey, I know you like snow globes." And she's like, "I guess I do." And he's like, "If you go to that special room and get me this snow globe, you'll save Christmas.
Here's your heist movie happening."
Yeah, that's it.
That's true. Also,
Tim Allen,
do
me a favor. My ex-wife's ex-husband, don't whisper to my daughter. Do me that one favor. Don't ever have a secret with my daughter. Thanks.
And that's a Lifetime movie title, right?
Yes, don't have a secret with my daughter.
Yeah.
Don't have a secret with my daughter too. You had a secret with my daughter. And also on the subject of keeping secrets, Martin Short, lock that fucking snow globe room.
Yes, or demolish it. Like, put it somewhere else.
Brick that shit up, Cask of Amontillado style.
And Tim Allen goes up to Martin Short and he's like, "You tricked me." And it's an ill set up microphone pen, which I need. Because at the end, he uses it, I'm like, "That was a microphone pen?"
No,
like,
it's quite literally the exact opposite of ill setup. Mm-hmm. It's about as set up as you can get. You know how I know? Because I noticed it. And I never noticed stuff like that. He's like, he's trying to sell Tim Allen on this pen. He's like, "Pick up a pen. They record things." And he records himself and plays it back. And Tim Allen's like, "That's stupid." And he takes it from him. And then he totally plays the thing. Like, you see Tim Allen lifts this thing up and clicks it. Oh. And he's like, "What is that thing you made me say?" And he says it. And he's like, "Thank you."
I really admit that whole thing.
It's so ridiculously set up. And I was like, "Oh, so that's how you're going to solve this." What I didn't guess what was going to happen is that happens approximately 4.5 minutes later. It's just, we're so rapidly solving this problem. It's outrageous.
Well, I mean, you do need a Martin Short musical number to fill those 4.5 minutes.
Now, I'll admit, this is where I started falling asleep.
Okay.
I got caught up watching that 3-hour Hairspray Live last night.
And the last thing you wanted to do is watch Martin Short sing one more second.
Although, I'll tell you what, him and Harvey Fierstein together was fucking mwah, right on.
All
right. But by the time this scene rolled around in the movie, I was falling asleep. So what song does he sing? Song or a fake song?
North Pole, North Pole.
Yes,
it's the New York.
Oh, that's right. Oh, it just came flooding back. Oh God, did it ever!
It's awful. It's like in Defending Your Life when that. Not Defending Your Life. In notice. Sorry.
The one where Albert Brooks dies is Defending Your
Life. No, it's like in Lost in America where that guy's trying to tell him how to sing a jingle about Ford. He's like, it's Ford.
So what is the purpose of singing that song? Is he selling something?
That's show. True. It's like if you're going to Vegas, you would have to buy tickets to go see Jack Frost sing a stupid fucking song.
And he's only a little doughier than he is, so the body horror, I guess, because he's an immortal, didn't get him so much. And also, he looks exactly like Wolf Blitzer, by the way.
He totally does.
He's got
does.
Like, the stupid white frost hair.
It's like
beard.
Wolf Blitzer with like steely blue eyes. I'm shuddering right now thinking about it.
But then, yeah, 4.5 minutes later, the little girl like throws the ball and he's like, "Hey, catch." And then he clicks it. And then we go back through, right?
So yeah, we go back.
We go back through, and it's the two of them, and then we do see 94 Tim Allen, and
it's a much thinner and darker haired Tim Allen,
and less plastic surgery. And you see, the weird thing is, like, I haven't seen the first one in a while. Like, it's kind of a good gag. The guy falls, and the little kid's like, "You killed him." It's like kind of like that's an edgy-ish joke.
Well, it was the '90s; we could still have that.
That first movie, despite its faults, was a movie.
Yeah,
this is not a movie.
Yeah,
this is not a movie.
Question: was this theatrically released?
Yes, it was.
Oh, yikes!
Absolutely. Huh? Lore of our Lord, the year of our Lord, 1990, 2006.
Oh,
and then they started planning the Tooth Fairy franchise from this.
But
Art LaFleur was never seen again.
But the weird thing is that. So let's think about the time twist here. So then, basically, in this timeline. Tim Allen holds on to Jack Frost so he can't get the coat, and the right Tim Allen, the younger Tim Allen, goes and grabs it, setting the timeline back, but like this weird thing, like, and then he remembers it, and then like
they should, none of them
Jack
should
Frost,
remember.
No one should remember anything because it just gets erased.
You know,
they should
all
have, actually, it should be a loop, actually, because it would never end, because basically every time then Jack Frost would trick him.
Steve, you know what? Sure. Whatever. Sure.
Every single timeline, also, these people are left to live out their lives.
You know? So
she's a waitress and she eventually dies.
Yeah.
Sure.
Rots. And eventually the world ends and restarts itself. Yes. And she's just in that timeline. But there's other people in
and
other timelines.
She goes up there with the baby angel.
And then Mike Pence tortures them both. Yes.
They should all be, like, when they go back to the regular timeline, everybody should have massive nosebleeds. Like, you're futzing too much with the space-time continuum.
Yeah. Oh, it's raining donuts?
Yes, exactly.
Sorry, I've been watching that. I watched some of that Simpsons marathon, so I got Simpsons on the brain.
Yeah.
Who doesn't?
What's a donut? Oh, look, it's raining. So then he just comes back and he's like, "Hey, Elizabeth Mitchell, sorry I've been being a dick. I love being Santa and I love being your husband. Let's have this baby."
And I am against the purge, actually. I've learned that the purge is wrong. But they do, and then basically, like, Christmas gets saved for some reason.
Because then all the magic who's-a-fudges come out helping at the workshop. Because
the elves get their fucking ass in gear, finally.
But then she's having this baby, right?
Well, no, actually, we have to get to the Jack Frost scene, which is the end of Jack Frost.
Oh, it's disgusting.
So, like, they're all like,
oh. Phantom
Zone, right? Yeah, exactly. They're all like... They're like, "Oh, the timeline's been fixed and Santa Claus is happy and like the elves are back at work," and this little girl comes out and is like, "My parents were murdered."
Right. These two little like mummies are terrifying.
Dude, the only way this movie should end is fucking Santa Claus and Art LaFleur, big old gruff Art LaFleur, grabbing Jack Frost and shoving him down into the electric chair.
Yep.
I was
chaining him in.
I thought you were going to say just each take a limb and pull.
Oh, right. Man, like a wishbone? Yeah.
Or like when the classic execution, and it sucks that we don't do this anymore, where you take a guy.
The two horses?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, the old two horses guy.
I'd say, you know what?
Get two reindeer.
Have we done it with four horses or four reindeer?
Well, they did it in the Hitcher. With the two cars.
Oh, yeah, that's a moderate. That's horsepower.
Is that a Ford?
Hey, Wilson, I'm going to kill my enemy.
Come on, Al. Just tie him to the bumper.
Dude, the series finale of Home Improvement should have been Al Borland fucking telling that guy off. "Hey, Tim, the tool man Taylor, here's what I think of you."
Or maybe it's like, and you know what sucks about that show is they tried to go dramatic too much, and they could go either way with this. Al brings a gun to work the last the last episode.
Oh, Binford starts making guns?
Oh, that's right.
Exactly.
Oh, that'd be awesome, actually. Al Borland murders the whole studio audience with a nail gun.
God. I've had enough! Hell tonight.
No, Tim's like, "Oh, I superpowered this thing. Hey, Al, let's use it." And then Al dies and Tim has to live with it the rest of his life. Because at long last, like, that's a dangerous thing, man. You're fucking around power tools.
He realizes that Al Borland was his one and only true friend.
Oh, wow.
Because much like Roseanne, that show had a lot of, like, buddies of his.
Uh-huh.
But nobody that really stuck around.
No, they're all at the sports bar and just, like, eating peanuts next to him.
We're coming over for cards at the tool. old man's house, etc.
Some cold pizzas, yeah.
So these two people are frozen, and there's a weird thing in the middle of the movie where he's like, well, Lucy, your hugs are magic. And she's like, yeah, sure, that's weird to say to me.
Oh, God, right, because he gave her that snow globe.
Yeah, and then like he's like, well, there's only, and like no one can unfreeze these people. And Jack Frost is even like, I can't, unless I'm unfrozen, I can't unfreeze him, which doesn't make any sense. So she hugs him,
right,
and it turns him into like a sunny guy. Like he gets,
it turns him into Clifford.
It does. Yeah. He has a Clifford haircut.
I gotta mention, like it's very unsettling. I forgot about this, but Santa gives her towards the start of the film, I believe,
yeah,
a snow globe,
uh-huh,
wherein there's a miniature version of her,
right,
that's like, it's just, it's the actress playing this moment,
yeah,
and it's her hugging some goddamn thing.
A snowman.
A snowman.
Oh, so she's killing a snowman.
She's killing a snowman, and it's like this, but it's like she was shrunk.
Yes, it's very,
very
disturbing.
It's very weird. And yeah, wait, so the magic, but she has the magic powers that this,
I think she's getting inaugurated into the council after this.
Oh,
I
really?
Think so, yeah.
She's the heat miser.
She's Ant-Man?
I think she's the creepy little girl.
And that's the Halloween figure.
Oh, yeah, right.
Actually, now that I think about it, when he turns in, when he's not Jack Frost, he's just regular Frost, I don't know.
Or Jack.
Jack Johnson.
Jack. He kind of looks like David Miscavige.
He does, actually. Looks very much like David Miscavige.
I would have preferred the electric chair or the ripping apart of limb from limb.
That's probably what you want.
But yeah, it warms his heart, and then it melts these people, and that's kind
and
of...
Then,
let me tell you about the melting for a hot second. This is some of the cheapest shit.
Oh, sure.
Oh, my God. How? Like, listen, Disney. Last time I checked, you're Disney. Let's put some special effects into this. It's like this superimposed, like, white mask. It looks like when the Three Stooges would get hit with cream pies.
Yeah.
It's this disgusting thing, and Judge Reinhold and the other woman, like, leap out of it, and it's like terribly animated. Or, I mean, my God.
Maybe that mask stays on Judge Reinhold and he becomes the Myers boy.
Oh, I
the
love
shape.
That.
Judge Reinhold is the shape.
Judge Reinhold could play a serial killer.
Absolutely.
Or something. Let's figure
of course,
that out.
Yeah.
He's still around.
So the end of this movie is my least favorite kind of credit sequence, which is the gag reel.
And it's unearned.
It's so unearned.
Because I didn't laugh once in the movie.
I kind of don't like gag reels at all.
I don't like gag reels either.
And then, oh my God. And you're just like, oh, hey, you know all those jokes that weren't funny? What if they didn't land?
Well, the best part of the gag reel, it's the scene. So it's the scene when he's in the doorway with Wendy Crewson. And like he's supposed to be saying, like, Frost turned the North Pole into a theme park. But Wendy Crewson can't keep it together because it's so funny to be around Tim Allen. And like he snaps at her in the middle of the gag reel. He just goes, is there something amusing about the way I'm acting right now? And like, it's like, whoa, Tim. Yeah. That's real Tim Allen.
Fans go back to the trailers.
Yeah. Nancy Travis has heard that line a few fucking times.
Everybody had to cool off.
We kind of lost the thread of Alan Arkin and the
Margaret.
There.
Yeah.
And Margaret. They find out that he's Santa Claus.
Sure. Right. He comes out.
He comes out as...
Wait, I did what in that movie? Recall it. We got to cut that out.
And Alan Arkin is like losing his mind about how great it is that he's related to Santa Claus.
Uh-huh. Why would this old Jewish man care that he's related to Santa?
He's about to disavow this whole family.
Yeah,
dude. Know? Yeah, that John Cassavetes fight scene.
He's been shut out for like a decade. What, like...
Oh, great. My kid's Santa Claus. Fantastic.
And there's this whole thing. He's just like, I'm father-in-law Christmas.
Yeah.
So you're saying this is Canada. Are you sure it isn't called Waco?
Oh, man. Santa Claus lives at the Branch Davidian compound.
Oh, man. And Alan Arkin, like, he's like, I got to get out of here.
I'm just here for my daughter.
I'm going to start a small fire so that the ATF knows to come in and help us. It's going to be controlled. I'm going to be right here with the fire extinguisher. Oh, no. It's good. I didn't know that these elves were making flammable toys.
And you got to trust the government. You've got to trust them. They're going to come in. They're going to get us. Don't worry, Ann.
Who knew Santa had all these oily rags?
Oh, thank God the ATF is here. Come, help. Oh, now you're shooting at us? Wait, I got holes in my body? What's this?
Bleeding to death over here?
That would be a much better ending to the Santa Claus. Talk about the escape clause.
And how am I all wet all of a sudden? Oh, this is blood? This is my blood? I'm dead? I'm dying?
This I would all like much more than Buddy Claus.
Oh, man, the baby's name is Buddy.
Named after Alan Arkin for some reason. Where is the North Pole in relation to the Fortress of Solitude? Are we talking like next to each other or
same postal code?
Okay.
Yeah.
I thought you had to like move through a portal to get into the Solitude.
Yeah, but they still get mail mix-ups.
Yeah,
sure.
I mean, you could walk there. He walks to a diner afterwards.
I mean Bermuda Triangle is also getting a lot of letters that are going there.
all these
mystical places.
Amelia Earhart's on the council.
She's dropping off the mail.
I'm bleeding to death. Where's Superman? I thought Superman would be here.
Well, no, actually, he gave up his powers to fuck for a little while. That happens right, every so often.
That's right. That's right.
My blood?
You know, not enough Michael Dorn in this movie.
Not nearly enough.
No, not at all.
Like, if you have to have all these stupid side characters.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, it should be about the council. It's a kind of, it's a bad concept. But yeah, you have,
but it's a concept.
It's a concept. You have all these, B-list celebrities in it, you know. Kevin Pollak.
Just speaking of B-list and those outtakes, I just realized my most uncomfortable one is this fucking dude, the goddamn Eddie LeBeck playing the Easter Bunny, is like saying gross shit to Anne Margaret.
It's really uncomfortable in front of all these children.
And she fucking goes, like, she breaks the take and she goes, "Dude, you're creeping me out," or something
Yeah.
And then you hear one of the kids go, "Dude, you're creeping me out."
Oh my God.
Yeah, because he's like, "Hey, Anne Margaret, I like your red hair." And it's like, yeah. What are you talking about?
I want to eat my carrot.
You see, I missed all this because I turned this off as soon as I possibly could.
The second it ended.
Oh, Buddy Claus got it.
That actually was the last thing. We're going to call you Butt. Yeah. I thought it was Bud until I looked at the cast list and saw the baby's name was Buddy.
Man.
Oh, that baby got credited, huh?
Yes. Or I think baby. It was twins. And
oh, no,
that's
at least
how they got to do it. That's how they got to do it. Oh, man.
Tim Allen's twins, actually. Nobody knows that. It's Tim Tim and Glenn Allen.
Glenn Allen.
Because Tim is such a bad actor, you need at least two of them on set at any given time. Because he'll get cranky, he'll have to go to sleep.
And Glenn is he's frou-frou.
Yeah, oh, yeah, as you say.
He's an SJW. that would be something. You know,
that's
I would
a movie.
Watch,
I this movie.
Yeah, exactly. Tim Allen, two parts, fighting with each other.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, like
for
a,
2 hours.
Like that Adam Sandler movie?
Tim Allen for 2 hours for anything, no. I'm out.
Man, that's a good thing not to do right this minute. But the longest Tim Allen movie, wonder what it could be.
Probably Toy Story 3.
Yeah, that's true.
That was a long one. Yeah, but I'm talking
Toy
Story's Tim
don't
Allen
count.
Movies.
That's Pixar.
I mean, he's good.
Where you just got to watch this asshole on screen. No one's recommending this, right?
No.
Way. I mean,
the first one's bad, but the first one at least has enough nostalgia. I mean, I guess if you might have a nostalgia towards this movie, but it's really wretched. And
if you're 15 years old, you watched this when it came out when you were a kid.
Yeah, it's not very good. No,
it sank this franchise. There's no Santa Claus 4.
Thank God for that.
Thank God for that, indeed.
Thank Christ for that on this special day he was born.
It's Christmas, not holiday. Christmas
no.
time.
You gotta put that on a fucking coffee cup.
It's a hard Christ.
Look, I'm telling you,
Christmas.
Just have a plain red cup, the little tiniest font you can have, Christ, on the bottom of the cup. They'll be fine. They won't say another thing.
He's a baby now. He'll be torched to death soon.
Well, the good news is after January 20th, we won't be able to make any of these jokes. So we might as well get him in now.
That's true.
Get him in now. That's right.
Get him done.
Illegal. What you are doing is illegal.
Hey, this was a question I asked of myself while we were chatting this evening. Who is better? Or should I say, whose movies would you rather watch more of? Tim Allen or Larry the Cable Guy?
Tim Allen.
Ooh, I'd go Larry.
No, I mean, are we excluding Toy Stories?
Yeah. Okay. So Tim Allen movies, and not
and
Larry the Cable Guy in those shitty Cars movies.
Okay,
I can't
think of many Tim Allen movies.
There's the Shaggy
Dog,
Joe
Big
Somebody.
Trouble, Joe. Oh God, man. Joe Somebody.
I turned that one off.
You know what?
Christmas with the Cranks.
No.
Didn't he have some Jonathan Taylor Thomas project? Wait, that was Home
that
Improvement.
That was Home
Improvement. Sorry. Jungle to Jungle, you're
that,
thinking?
Maybe that's what I'm thinking.
Did he have a sitcom that nobody watches, but everybody watches? Oh, yeah, Last Man Standing.
Was there a sitcom in between Home Improvement and Last Man Standing? I believe there was. Wasn't there? Was there something else? A little something that got canceled? Maybe.
Maybe he was on The Shark for an episode.
The James Woods Lawyer Show. I'm saying Larry.
I mean, Tim Allen's a better actor. You have to give it to him.
Yeah, and he's like a regular person. Larry's a cartoon character, so maybe his antics are more a pleasing on screen. This is a tough decision.
I know, man. It's really hard.
I think I'm going Larry.
Right?
Oh, okay. I think it's Larry.
I never thought I'd defend Tim Allen in a room full of my friends. But
I never thought
I
I'd defend Larry the Cable Guy.
You know what? We haven't had a good hashtag going for a while. You know, because this is split in the room right now.
Yeah.
Tweet Team Larry or hashtag Team Tim.
Yeah.
And we'll see what happens out there in Twitter land.
I'm really curious about this. Because here's, I guess, my two focal points. I would rather watch Jingle All the Way 2 again than Santa Claus 3 The Escape Clause again.
I agree, but I would rather watch Santa Claus 1 or even Santa Claus 2 with fascist Santa Claus.
Yeah, I would rather watch...
with alt-right Santa Claus toy.
I'd rather watch a Tim Allen movie than Witless Protection.
Yeah.
I mean, Health Inspector.
Red Belt, that's something. No, that's a movie.
You don't get to count
Red
Belt.
Yes, you do. He's in the movie.
He's got three fucking scenes.
Wait a second. Chris, name a fucking movie that Larry the Cable Guy is in for three scenes.
Wait, Larry the Cable Guy's in Red Belt?
No, Tim Allen.
Tim Allen is in Red Belt for like three scenes.
Is he playing Tim Allen, though?
No.
No, he's playing...
He's
Tim Allen.
He's like his manager or something.
Well, I didn't know if it was like they went to a fight and Tim Allen was there gambling.
He's a rich asshole.
I think there was Oscar buzz for Tim Allen for that movie. Yeah. Not buzz. Not real buzz. Not
maybe real that buzz, one guy on the corner of your street said that.
No, I'm sorry. That was Zachary.
Hey, Steve, going to work? Tim Allen's got some Oscar buzz with that Red Belt.
No, it's really good.
I bought Coke.
It's a good movie, Steve.
I bought Coke from Zachary Ty Bryant. He said that Tim Allen is really good in Red Belt.
His greatest performance is when he gets hit in the cock with a harpoon gun in Carrie 2.
Yeah, well,
that's pretty great.
Is he also the one who was in that Future Lawyers show that I've never been able to find Allie the actual
McBeal.
Title?
No.
We're getting off track. It's Team Larry or Team Tim.
And I just remembered the greatest Tim Allen performance of all time, where he's playing Tim Allen, is there was some news interview. It was after one of those famous, like, Mike Tyson knocks somebody out in 15 seconds kind of a thing.
Sure.
And he's coming out of the, like, MGM Grand ballroom or whatever the shit it is. And they're like, hey, Tim Allen, what'd you think of the fight? And he was clearly, like, lost money, and he was so pissed, he just goes, what fight? And walked away from them.
Nice.
He had a bad night.
Gonna go make out with David Mamet, and then we'll talk about this later.
I'd watch that.
That's Santa Claus 3, The Escape Clause, directed by series director Michael Lembeck. If you want more We Hate Movies, check out whmpodcast.com. Like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter. We are at WHM Podcast, and write into the mailbag. We all hate movies @gmail.com. Rate and review the show wherever you get it. We would greatly appreciate it. Still time to get some gifts. Go to our website, man. Click on that shop button. Mm-hmm. Get yourself over to our TeePublic store. Pick up some WHM merch for your friends and family.
And if you're in the giving mood, Patreon.
That's right. Give back. Patreon.com/WeHateMovies.
We did an animation damnation on Christmas Comes to Pac-Land.
Oh, that was a weird one.
And that is the Pac-Man in the world of Pac-Man.
Pac-Man, yes.
Yeah, because, you know, you say Pac-Land, you know, I don't know what that... Someone's like, I don't know what that is. Is that something out there in the Middle East? Dumb Team Larry.
Yeah, exactly. Like Andrew and Chris, they're like Team Larry. Yeah.
Fucking hashtag Team Larry, dude.
I don't know why we're at war with Pac-Land, but they've been asking for it, I bet.
So next week, we are off for the holidays, but please enjoy WHM live at the Hollywood Improv talking Batman and Robin.
A quick liner note about this, because we won't have a bumper on it. We're just going to play you the episode.
Sure, sure.
At the end of Batman and Robin.
Oh, this was great.
Here we go.
I just need to clear the air here, because you're going to hear it's like, oh, this show went great. Everyone's laughing. Everyone's having a good time.
and then
start screaming.
Happens.
It goes dead silent.
Totally.
There's a horror going through the room.
Because we're done with the episode. You know,
this is the second of two sold out shows, by the way. So we've been talking shows, for like 3 hours.
I'm as high as I've ever been on like, "You're a good person, Steven Sadak." And then I take a glass of water when Andrew starts reading a user comment or something.
Right, yeah.
And it just goes down the wrong pipe, and I throw up practically on the front row.
And the LA Improv, the stage and the audience are very close. So what Steve is describing is him spitting on everyone at the show.
Yeah, spit on everyone in the front row.
Spit a whole mouthful of water on a nice couple that were just sitting there having a nice time.
I can spit on people, Mark.
I play the Hollywood Improv every time, Mark. They're in the splash zone now, say that.
If you come to one of our live shows, we may spit on you.
Yeah, it's like a G.G. Allen show.
It's fucking punk rock podcasting, man. That's just the way it is. You don't like it? Go to one of your fucking corporate podcasts down the street. There are plenty of them. This is DIY.
So, you know, be forewarned. That's what that is. That's Otherwise, it was a great show.
It was fantastic.
So until the new year, I'm Andrew Jupin.
Steven Zahn.
Chris Gavin.
Eric Sisko.
Happy New Year and Happy Holidays.